Welcome to The Thriving Life, where we help women navigate the world while wearing multiple hats. On this podcast, you'll be equipped with mindset, strategy, and skills that will help you lead your life, thrive, and have it all without sacrifice and burnout. I'm your hostess, Ume Oguta, and I'm here to make having it all less intimidating. So grab a seat, kick your shoes off, and let's talk. Hello, hello, Thriving Family. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? This week, I got surprised in a way that I did not see coming, and it's part of what I'm going to be talking about on today's episode. We're talking all about permission to pivot. The thing I find most fascinating about today's podcast episode is that this whole year I've been coaching most of my clients on pivots, specifically around burnout and really reorienting themselves to how they want to show up in their careers and life. And it's truly just been amazing to see these women who had dreams that they thought they could only whisper and think about quietly. And then whenever we coached, and now they're really fully stepping into those dreams and enjoying their lives. I remember one of my clients who often says, "What is this life that I'm living? What is this life that I've created? It's nuts." And it gets me so excited because last year she was burned out. She was working multiple jobs, had no time for herself or to even enjoy the country that she moved to because she really wanted that lifestyle. And now she works 3 days a week. She charges the price that feels good and aligned to her. She's making money with ease, having pleasurable experiences, and seeing all of the opportunities ahead for her. And it just makes me so excited. I feel truly elated and grateful to be participating and partnering with these women. And one thing I've been thinking about as I've coached her and other of my clients, it occurred to me that I'm really good at helping women pivot. I see what they don't see. I help them break complex problems into bite-sized solutions. And I help them come up with a plan or a pathway to help them really pivot successfully. Sounds easy, right? But when it comes to doing the same, I feel trepidatious. Like I get so nervous and afraid and I want to just go hide under my bed. And this is something that I'm learning to release. And I actually thought I had come a long way until when I got this pleasant surprise, which I'm going to share about. And it's so funny because I can't just help but laugh at myself out how resistant I am, even to the tiniest of changes. Like I feel sometimes like I'm a toddler in a store and I just want to throw tantrums with God because listen, I'm not Noah, right? Like you can't just tell me to build a boat when I've never seen a boat, I've never seen rain, and you're giving me all of these instructions and you're telling me to do what? And why do I have to live with animals, for goodness sake? Like really? That is how I have survived until now. And now I'm learning a new path. And one of the things I really thought about for myself was I keep going back to my words for the year, which were lead and release. And I must say that I've really been stretched in ways that I couldn't even have imagined this year. I've done things that I normally wouldn't. I have taken risks. I have just shown up courageously, letting curiosity lead me. And just like doing the things, right? If you followed my podcast for a while, you know I used to be called, or this podcast used to be called, the Thriving Mom Podcast. Then we pivoted to The Thriving Life. I also have an email list called Permission Granted. And it stemmed just from me observing how hard it is for women like myself to create the changes that we desire. Women who are used to waiting for permission to even dream bold, big, audacious dreams, right? About the lives that they desire. People who worry that if they change, then it's going to hurt their partners or hurt everything that they worked so hard to build. They're just holding on to those things with so much control and it's draining them. It's causing burnouts and stress and overwhelm. Women who want to be seen and heard, but they don't know how to ask for that space in the spotlight. Women who are smart and intelligent and they have so much to offer, but they're just waiting for someone to see them and offer them a seat at the table. These are women after my heart. And it's so funny because ever since I started doing that, it's just been so beautiful to see how every week with the emails and the community engagements that I have, I'm seeing women start to step up into their power and lead. And now I'm being called to pivot again. I'm going to share the details at the end of the podcast, but I really wanted to bring this to the forefront so that you can start thinking about it. As we come to the end of the year, the new year is going to come up. A lot of us are going to start thinking about what we might want to achieve, the life that we might want to create next year. And if you're being called to pivot, to change things and move from business as usual, I'm hoping this podcast is something that's going to be in your repertoire where you can come back and reference it over and over again so that you can take courageous action, you can take inspired action and create the life that you want. Okay. One thing I want to say is that I believe throughout our lives, we're surrounded by so many moments and things that are always pivoting. If you look at a seesaw, in the middle is a pivot machine that kind of keeps the two ends of the seesaw either up or down, depending on the weight that's being distributed on it. Many of us go to school, you graduate, and then you pivot. Do you want to work for yourself? Do you want a job? Sometimes you start working for yourself and then you pivot to, no, I want to work for somebody else, or you do the other. Right? We pivot in our relationships. Some of us go from single to committed long-term relationships. Sometimes it's marriage. Sometimes people get divorced. These are all natural ways that we see pivots around us. Same thing with the seasons. I live in a place where we have four seasons in the year. And so we're always pivoting. And with every season comes changing your clothes, changing out your shoes. Sometimes your skincare and hair care routine changes. These are all pivots. And many times when it comes to our personal lives, we worry about when we're being called to change, and the work isn't necessarily whether or not we choose to pivot. Things will always happen. The work for us is to decide how we're going to pivot and where we are going. Part of the reason why we feel uncomfortable with pivots is that many of us just feel led to pivot and then we wait, right? We don't step in and decide, okay, this is what I'm being called to do. Where am I going? Who am I being called to become? And what steps can I take in that direction? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Pivots give you that opportunity to assess where you are in life and then reorient yourself in the direction of your aspirations and dreams. And this comes from really grounding yourself in your values, in your strengths, in your priorities, and knowing what the next version of yourself is calling you to be. I think that is key here, right? Because it can feel very scary and also exciting and hopeful. But if you're not sure who you're becoming on the other end, then you might take a little bit longer. You might start going in the wrong direction or looking to other people to help you. And I'm hoping this podcast is going to really open you up to get curious about, you know, your own pivot, wherever that might be coming up for you, so that you can take inspired and courageous action. One thing you want to know is that pivots will not always make sense. If you're like me, you've lived your life following a formula, right? We're so good at following formulas, and spontaneity is not our thing. Yeah, sometimes we might get spontaneous, but we know how that spontaneity works, right? Like you're tiptoeing, just figuring out like what's the least amount of spontaneity that I can have. But I want to invite you to dig deeper. And really focus on, are you connected with your body? Are you connected with your intuition? Because as humans, we have this natural thing called intuition that helps us, that guides us, that kind of gives us a sense of what we're being pulled to do. This could be an opportunity for you to build self-trust with yourself and just allow yourself to take chances and take risks in learning to discover who you really are. So, even if it doesn't make sense, it's okay for it not to make sense. The work is about tuning into your intuition, cultivating your ability to listen and be led by that. Another thing you want to be thinking about is envisioning the start as well. Don't just dwell on, okay, now I'm being called to pivot, something ends right now. Sure, it's helpful to grieve, it's helpful to feel sad about the changes that you're being called to make or the end of something that you really thought was the thing, right? Especially if you thought it was the good thing, if it was a great thing, you weren't really experiencing any sort of negativity from it. And so now you're being called to move away. That hurts. That is something that makes you feel sad, and you are allowed to grieve about it. And with your grieving, I want you to think about your life after the pivot. So one of the things that I noticed is that when we make changes, the reason why we don't stick to our changes or it's not sustainable is that we do not think about who we're becoming. You see this in health a lot. A lot of people will jump on the bandwagon of, oh, I'm going to live healthy. And then they think that the diet is the thing that's going to help them. So they go on a 30-day diet. They do a fast. They do all these things to lose weight quickly. But then they just go back to who they used to be. And it's not that they don't want the change well enough. They're focusing on the wrong solution. They think the diet or the regimen is the solution rather than the way that they think about themselves in relationship to food and their bodies, the thoughts they have about themselves when it comes to their worth and their place in relationships. These are the things that they ought to be focusing on, because when you think about yourself, you want to be thinking about who you're becoming. You want to be thinking about your habits. And that's what defines whether your change is sustainable or not. So you can go on a diet, you can do all the things, but if you're still thinking like someone who's always going to struggle with food, who does not have control over sugar or whatever other food that you're afraid of, then you're always going to go back to who you used to be, and your change, no matter what you do, is not going to be sustained. And I think this is where the work that I do with my clients, for me, goes beyond just changing their lives and their habits to this moment. We really think about the future and building a legacy, because I'm not just here to help you get to the root and end generational patterns of burnout, of hustling for your worth, or sacrificing what matters to you, like your family, your health, your well-being, your peace. I'm here to help you carve a new path of abundance, of living with vitality and courage and taking audacious action and living a life that you just feel very excited about. A life where you feel truly grateful because you are, not because that's what's expected. I was talking to a client this week about how many of us are the first ones in our families, right? We use the phrase, it ends with me, to signify the end of some type of generational pattern, right? I work with women, so a lot of my clients do struggle with their relationships with their moms. They have mother wounds and they have struggles with food and body image. And a lot of that is about, okay, this ends with me. And this is great, right? The problem ends here. But I want to invite you to move beyond the problem ends here. What about it starts with me? What is starting with you? No more stressed out, no more burned out mom ends with you. Now what? No more settling for relationships that suck the life out of you. Now what? What is the thing that starts with you that can be passed down to generations coming after you, even if you don't have your own children? Because I think sometimes we make this mistake of thinking, well, if I want to pass on a legacy, if I want to pass on a change, then I have to have children. No, you don't. Your work in this world is not just about being born and having kids. There's so much to you that goes beyond being a mom. You do have a level of influence wherever you go, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your relationships, in your family. What is the legacy that you want to leave behind? For me, I think about my daughters who have seen me work a 9-to-5. I own my business. And for them, they have expanded their capacity for thinking about work and what it means to make money. I think about my sisters who have seen me grow up, be able to say no to my mom, be able to be seen in my marriage where we feel like we're partners. I'm enjoying my marriage and my sisters see this. I have passed this legacy onto them, and we always have conversations about how things are going to change in our own generation and for our children. And so what is your own legacy that you're wanting to pass on? I think about the legacy of creating a space where everyone feels like their emotions are welcome in our home. We don't always do this perfectly because I grew up not knowing how to express myself. It's something that I'm still learning, but my kids are knowing like we're not going to get it right, but we're willing to learn, and it just helps them feel more safe and able to be vulnerable around us. I really think about this one time when my daughter's friend had come to play, and she said no. And I started feeling bad for the friend. And I was like, well, you know, you haven't seen her in a while. She probably missed you. And I'm not kidding. My daughter turned to me. She looked me in the eye and she said, Mom, you taught me how to have boundaries. I just don't feel like playing today. So can I just have my boundary? And we just started laughing. I was like, okay, ma'am. But it was funny because this is what I teach, right? Like I have my own boundaries. I'm encouraging them to figure out what their boundaries are. And so I really had to step back, and I was quite grateful and appreciative that she spoke up and told me to back off. She said it nicely, but that was literally what she was telling me, and I respected that because to me that tells me she's not willing to negotiate whether I'm her mom or not. So you decide what that is for you. What is the next step? What are we starting? Rather than here's where we end and we'll just see what happens. Next, which is tied to the previous point already, is just deciding who you are being with intention. Now, one of the things about pivoting is that so many of us want to get more information. We've been taught that if something's not working, if you're not seeing what you want, you need to go get more information. I see this with my clients is something that I'm unlearning as well, because as ambitious, career-driven women who also want to have this luxurious, fulfilling, and just wonderful personal life experiences, we work with a lot of data. We gather information, and sometimes it's hard to stop because we think in our brains, because we're getting information, we're doing the work. The problem with trying to find more information is that you already have enough. And so trying to get more just keeps you in a state of overwhelm because you probably don't know how to filter, you don't know how to make decisions with what you have already, and you don't know how to problem solve. And so I want to invite you to stop seeking more information and instead focus on your thinking and your habits so that you can take action based on the information that you have already. When you focus on changing your habits, changing your thinking, this aligns with your identity. It uses the information that you have already to move you in the direction that you want to go. So if you've decided who you want to be with intention, you can start asking yourself questions like, what am I missing in the actions I'm supposed to take versus what's wrong with me? Or where do I need to get more information, or how do I get more information? And then finally, I just want to invite you to think about the spark moments. This is a habit that I've cultivated for a long time now, just noticing all the little spark moments, the ahas, inspiration, moments of fun and excitement and gratitude, things that light me up and fill me with childlike wonder. It could be as simple as an oddly shaped leaf. This week at work, one of my colleagues had a pumpkin that they were too attached, and it kind of looked like a little bum, which was so funny. And I was like, oh my goodness, it is the cutest thing ever. The pumpkins didn't quite separate, so they're two attached, and one is kind of bigger and the other is small. And it just made me feel so, I don't even know what it was, but I was just like, isn't nature just beautiful? Like, you have pumpkins that grow and they're all, you know, alone by themselves. And here, these are two pumpkins that refuse to grow separate from one another. It was just so cute. So that's my point. What are those moments for you? Can you create a daily routine where you find those moments and give yourself room to see what you had not paid attention to before? Because yes, pivots can feel scary. Not knowing what tomorrow is going to be like can feel scary. But we have to remind ourselves that our journey is not about getting to an end. It's about how we're experiencing life as we work towards wherever we think we're going. And it's always evolving. It's always changing. So why not enjoy yourself through the process? And so I promised I was going to share my most recent pivot. And as much as I'm laughing, I think this is my nervous laugh. I have gone back and forth with this decision. I want to say that I did feel the nudge earlier this summer, and I kind of brushed it aside because logically speaking, I didn't think there was any need to worry. And so when I was in my quiet time last week, I could tell very clearly. My intuition was aligned, and I could feel like I was being called to stop airing the podcast. I will tell you that I spent a good amount of time trying to negotiate with God on this. My podcast has been where most of my clients have come from. I love this community. I feel like every week when you tune in and listen to me and hear my voice, and then I see you out in public and you tell me how much the podcast has impacted you, it just makes me feel so grateful that I chose to allow myself to be heard, to allow myself to be seen, to share a part of me with you. And so, like I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, there's a part of me that's grieving. That's grieving because this podcast has brought me nothing but joy and happiness, and I've enjoyed doing it out of everything in my business, apart from working with my clients, this is one of the things that I think I love the most. And to say that I'm going to stop without knowing how long it's going to be for, why I'm stopping, is hard, right? I don't have all the answers. And so I have cried, I have journaled, I have self-coached. And my word for the year, or my words for the year, were lead and surrender. And this is me being vulnerable enough to surrender and saying, okay, I'm willing to make the jump. I'm willing to pivot. It was unexpected. And as I'm learning to grow in my faith and building trust with myself and learning to lead myself in this world, I am learning too that I must be willing to lay down my attachment to the things that I think are what makes me who I am, right? I'm laying down my attachments and allowing myself to grow and move in the direction that I'm being called to, just like I teach my clients to do. And since one of my core values is authenticity, I'm learning to let myself experience what that's like to do when things are going great in a relationship, but I'm being called to pivot, right? And I say it out loud now and I'm like, it sounds a bit odd, but really everything is a relationship. I still have podcast episodes that I recorded and I don't know what the plan is going forward. I might use them in my email list, permission granted, which by the way, you should totally sign up for. If you're not there already, go to oliveandbliss.ca/join, or you can come find me on Instagram or Facebook. I'm at Olive and Bliss Wellness and I'll share the link. That's where all the party is going to happen. I'm going to pour all of my heart into those women in that community. And for now, I invite you to just go back to all of the podcast episodes, everything that you may have missed, all the way back to 2020. I think we're at about 140 something episodes right now. So there's lots for you to check out, use that information to help you to gain new insights, glean what you need to create your own thriving, burnout-proof life. If you're wanting to chat with me, send me an email, hello@oliveandbliss.ca, and you can check out my website, oliveandbliss.ca, for all of the details and how you can reach me. And if you're ready to move beyond information and start taking inspired action, start putting your work into action to really create that life that you're craving, my calendar is also open for one-on-one private coaching and mentorship. This is for the woman who's ready to just go all in and create a life where her career success doesn't have to cost her peace, her family, or well-being. I love you all so much. Thank you for being here. It has truly been an honor to serve you through all of the hundreds of episodes that I have put out. I'm hoping this is not the last, but for now, I'm just going to say see you around. Now, let's go live your thriving life.